Okay. I'm welcoming everyone here to the meeting.
Round them out.
And 10:14. Let's move forward. Larry, would you offer a prayer?
Absolutely.
We're praying.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we're grateful today. For the beauty that surrounds us. We're grateful for our Deer Springs family. We ask, Father, that we can be guided in our decision making. And that we can find solutions and common ground. That we can all enjoy safe travel. We pray for this in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thanks.
Okay, roll call. Hold the applause. I'm Brent Fulmer, lot 117.
Larry Clarkson, 76.
Scott Kohler, lot 15.
Kevin Poole, lot 64.
Herb Batista, lot 94.
Joan Smith, 269.
Wallet. It's all hacking wallet. Anybody else on the call wants to pipe up with the lot number, name?
Barry Clarkson, 173.
Anybody important?
Sally Miller, lot 87.
Gary Clark, 144.
John Reed, lot 18.
Yep. And Wirt, 28.
Lot 4. Castle, 130.
Green, 156.
Mike McNichols, 270.
Randy and Karen Fry, number 13.
House 83.
Lot 18.
Think that got everybody. Anybody else? Okay, Tina, you got.
It's a little windy. If you guys have something to say in the audience, if you can come line up here and wait your turn, we'll move the mic closer so we can all hear those on Zoom here.
Whatever she said. Okay. Tina, you got the floor for your annual meeting volunteer thing.
She's good at following instructions.
Hey, I'm wanting to get the annual meeting committee going again so we have time to plan. If anybody wants to join, let me know. That's it.
Okay, thank you, Tina.
Scott. February and March minutes.
All right. Last month, some minutes got out late, and most of the board wasn't able to get them and read them because before the meeting, so we postponed it till today. So I propose that we accept the meetings for February and March as sent out, and I make that motion.
I'll second it.
Larry seconds it. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. That passed. So.
Is that it?
Daniel, I think I sent them to you, so you can do it as.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Hey, Bart, Michael gave you his proxy, so are you going to talk about the treasurer report?
Give me a proxy vote.
I do not have a treasury report from him. I'm not going to speak as for the treasury firm. I do know that there are a couple items that I'm aware of. You know, the water fix for the four connections. That's kind of a little bit over budget and kind of the requirements. And I know also that we are tight on all of our budgets for housing or for the cabin and for the roads, but I can't get into the details of it. I'll wait for next month for Michael to do that for you.
If anyone has a question on the P&L that was sent, let me know. I do have a pulled up if you can help.
I have a question on that. At the very end, I have the P&L right at the very end.
That was surprisingly good. You covered yourself well.
So part of that part was a little bit over for the water connection. I thought I understood from what Kurt said that we might be returning some part to Shulson.
So there are, I believe those are the meters. We can reuse some of the existing meters, and so that saves money as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Back,
yeah.
So that
that's regarding the meters.
Because over 20, you were going to charge the lot owner, right?
The total. Right. So we were going to put 20 down. The desire for because of maintenance, where the $20,000 really covers above ground tanks in our conditions here. That's not a good solution in the wintertime. And so we want them to be subgrade. And so that cost to get them subgrade tanks pushed the price up a little bit. We may get some credit back, so we don't know exactly where we're at just yet.
Well, and there were, like, the water vault issues. There was a lot of broken pieces, and that's not on the connectors. That's the our system.
Yeah.
So those were unforeseen.
Yeah.
Okay. Kevin, Kurt said that you were going to handle the property manager's report.
Yeah, he did send it to me. Looks like it's fairly brief. He says it's been working on the front gate, which is the cedar post or juniper post right here in the parking lot. Working on opening the J station. I know that there were several water leaks out here that you and Kurt had been working on and repairing. Let's see, he's been hiring staff to ensure smooth operation for the season during his absence period, which he had informed the board of on his February 9th of 2024 letter. And that looks like that's the end of it. So,
all right, well, thank you. Old business. On the cabin committee, there's going to be, we'll let you give, are you Mike, are you giving the report?
Sure.
Okay. There's going to be a minor reorganization there, and I will talk to the committee members afterwards, or when I get a chance. But would you like to give a report on that real quick?
Yeah, we started working on the cabins this morning. Do I have to go up there? Are we okay?
You may see that. I'll watch if anyone says
something. We have several people over in the garden cabin right now. We started working on all the different projects that we've identified for the lower cabins. We're going to be working on all of the projects for the lower cabins. Mostly today and tomorrow is when most of the volunteers are going to be available to help out. But we also have a handful of people that will be working in the lower cabins Monday through Thursday. Our goal is to complete all of the items on our list, with the priority being safety, items first, and then, I don't know what the total number is, but probably close to 100 different individual items for all of the cabins. And we're hoping that we get all of it done. If not, we'll get at least, 90% of those items completed.
during the coming 6 days. And the goal is to fix everything we possibly can, concentrating on safety and maintenance, not so much aesthetics. There are a lot of things that we'll want to do in the future, like painting and, you know, that kind of thing. So right now, it's really more about maintenance, functionality, and safety. And we're working on all those items over the next 5 or 6 days.
Okay. Any comments or questions?
One more comment. Anybody that wants to help out, we're going to be here all day today working on all of the different lower cabins. So if anybody wants to help out, they are certainly welcome to. Just we're starting in the garden cabin, so after the board meeting is over, anybody that wants to help out can come and help out for 2 or 3 hours or all day, whatever. And then we do have a community dinner planned for tonight for all the volunteers. That dinner will be held in the garden cabin starting at 6:30. So everyone is invited to attend that community dinner, whether you're able to help out or not.
Okay. All right, thanks. Okay.
Bylaws report, Cade, and I know that Barry's on the line, and we don't want to keep him.
We'll start with the one that's critical to Barry. So we did send out the changes that are being proposed. There's one addition that didn't make it into the email that was sent out. So if you want to see that addition, I do have copies here in writing, and we'll send out an update to that addition. And that's the one we're actually probably going to discuss first. So let me pull that up, and if people have got the version, there's stuff there. So this is referring to Section 8.02 and 8.0 through 8.04. Originally what was sent out, we were recommending that there be a removal of a requirement for the compliance form. So this section is talking about OHVs, which are all-terrain vehicles, etc. And there was a compliance form that says when checking at the ranch headquarters, each individual's intending to use any OHV will be required to fill out a compliance form prior to the use of any OHV on the ranch. So as the cabin or the bylaws committee was discussing it, the majority of the bylaws committee was thinking that if we weren't going to be able to collect it, that we shouldn't have that verbiage in there. Dan Wirtz feels like there is a requirement to have that in there because it does provide some protection to the association. And we should actually reflect it for members and make some options there. And we'll let Dan explain a little bit more about that. Barry was also consulted on that after the cabin committee met. So I put two versions in here, one removing that and one not removing that, so the board could hear both Dan and Barry's comments and then make a decision between the two versions. So Barry, Dan, I don't know which one of you want to go first on that section. Or
let's have Barry's input first.
Okay. So Barry, do you want to go ahead and?
Yeah, so I understand, and unfortunately I wasn't able to attend the last meeting because of some family issues, but I understand that members of the committee had talked it over, and in general, I understand that it doesn't make sense to have in the rules and regulations the requirement to fill out a form that we don't have the form and we don't have the mechanism to require people to sign it. First of all, there's a difference, let me point out, between members and non-members. We have a lot of non-members that are riding ATVs and razors and those kind of things through the ranch, but after discussing it and looking it over, then the bottom line is, from a legal perspective, we're always better off, not a ton, because we don't have a readily available enforcement mechanism, but if we have that requirement and we stick to it as best we can, including creating the form, which I'm happy to help create the waiver or the acknowledgement that people can sign, at least we show, if we ever get in trouble or there's ever a claim or anything, we can at least show that we did our best to advise people of the rules and regulations related to ATV operation on the ranch. And that is speed limits, helmet laws, those kind of things. And so although I understand people's concern that, well, how do we enforce it is an issue, we'll need to work through that. But number one, I think that it's better if we have that language in there, and if we go ahead and create the form, which I'm happy to participate or help or do and present it to the board, I think we're better off, and it gives us a little more protection if we have that requirement there, even though it's, as a practical matter, a little bit challenging to enforce. Then I believe it was Dan, but I'm not sure who brought up the other mechanism that we really should have in place, and that is we should have a sign at the major entrances to the ranch with the south end of Meadow Canyon Road and the south entrance to Slide Canyon and the north up by the Forest Service gate at least. We should have a sign posted that says these are private roads, and that we allow non-member ATVers to ride across them, but by doing so, they acknowledge that there are rules in place and that a copy of those rules and a waiver is available at ranch headquarters. Now, are they going to come down and stop and sign it? Probably not, but it at least gives us a chance to tell a court, if it ever comes to that, that, look, we made every effort to give them notice and give them an opportunity to come sign off. If they broke the rules later that resulted in injury to them or someone else, that's on them rather than on us. So I think that's the point, is I think it's better that we leave it the language in there requiring the compliance form, I think it's called, under the current draft. I think we need to create the compliance form, and then I think we need to post 3 or 4 signs at the major entrances letting non-members also, as well as members, know that these are private roads and that there is a compliance form required before they ride, and at least make that effort so that we can say we did everything we could do within our power to try to keep people safe. That's pretty much it from my side.
Thanks, Barry. Appreciate that. Dan, anything to add?
Yes, it was me who suggested signs. Unfortunately, there was not enough time to get my point of view into the agenda, so I'd like to spend like 90 seconds reading what I communicated with Cade. So, the new version of the rules and regs to be presented to the board at the upcoming meeting has removed reference to the requirement for OHV users to sign a liability waiver, which is section 8.03 in the current rules and regs. I think removing this would be a serious mistake. In an email exchange yesterday between Cade Hoff, Barry Clarkson, and myself, Barry agreed with me that the waiver language should remain in this section. Regarding members, the plan is to construct a waiver combining cabin usage, RV site usage, and OHV usage to be signed whenever a cabin/RV reservation is made, and to be included in the annual dues statement snail mailed to members. Regarding non-members using VSR roads, there is no practical way to enforce signing of waivers. However, Barry agrees with me that an element of legal protection can be gained by erecting 3 signs, actually probably 4. One at the bottom of Meadow Canyon Road at the north end of the landing strip, one at the Forest Service gate, and one at the bottom of Slide Canyon, covering all major points of entry. The language on these signs would remind people that DSR roads are private and that OHV, off-highway vehicle users, must sign a liability waiver. I urge the board to delay approving the proposed new version of the rules and regs until the waiver language is included in 8.03 in the current version, section 9 in the proposed new version. And I would construct that language. It's very simple. One sentence. Quote, all adult OHV, parenthesis ATV, in parenthesis users, at Deer Springs Ranch must sign a liability waiver for themselves and on behalf of any minor children annually. So I would just add to that, the enforcement question is separate. What we want, even if we can't enforce it for non-members, what we want is, as Barry says, to provide an element of legal protection.
Thanks, Dan. So, as I responded in that email as well, Dan, I agree with both Barry and Dan on that assumption. The board, the committee has not had an opportunity to hear those rebuttals, so I did put both versions in on this version. So again, I personally am recommending, Barry's recommending, Dan's recommending, that have different language. So right now, my personal recommendation would be that we go with version two. There are still some more changes to the rules and regs that we need to cover, that we're not 100% finished with these yet. So if we leave it as it is right now, that's not changing anything, and we can look at Dan's language in the next time we come around with everything and kind of proceed forward. But having version two would leave it with the old language for the compliance form, and then if we need to improve that language, we can work with that. Related to this version, so
I think that the current language is weak, and so I would suggest the one sentence that I just iterated.
Okay, so
just right here.
I guess that's a third option. So one option is we can leave it as it is and wait for the committee to fully evaluate it. Another option would be to adopt the language for that section. Like you said, it was 8.03, and we changed numbering on it a little bit as we're starting to refine stuff. But the language he's got it again is all adult OHV ATV users at Deer Springs Ranch must sign a liability waiver for themselves and on behalf of any minor children annually. So, I have no preference which route you guys want to go. If you guys want to make a motion to vote on one of those, if you guys want to wait to vote.
Are we making motions and voting on accepting each individual section as we improve?
I think the rest of them shouldn't have a whole lot of debate on them, so hopefully I can go through all of them really quick. We can just vote on all of them together. But this one has got the obvious debate between them. So.
I have a question for Barry.
Okay. Okay, and then we do have so Tina, if you want to come up and ask Barry real quick.
Barry, do you hear me?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, this is Tina Collins. A lot of OHV vehicles and ATVs are street legal. So does that have a impact on the liability, like, since they're DMV approved? Like, do we have liability or not?
We have the same liability whether they're street approved or not. They're riding on our private roads, and we need to make sure that to the extent we can, they're aware of the rules and restrictions and speed limits, so that we're not in any way possibly liable for something. Somebody saying, "Well, I didn't know." So whether they're street legal or not doesn't really matter.
Regular cars fall into the same liability then.
Yeah, on our roads, we might have some liability, and that's Dan's concern. So if we post that, again, we're not going to get anybody to sign it, but having it posted and having and I was out looking at some of the signs, we need our speed limit signs probably need to be updated as well because some of them aren't visible. So, again, trying to reduce that liability for everything and then having them sign this or asking them to sign it on the sign would help reduce that liability is the goal. So there is going to be a cost, obviously, with updating signs and doing all that, and we'll have to see what we can do to do that. But
my question would be, so in the actual language of the rule, like there's a little detail about daylight hours only, but that's not how the law reads. You can still drive a car, you can still drive a UTV, ATV at night with headlights, license plates, turn signals, so on and so forth. So are we overstepping the law by adding more stringent rules
We're allowed to make, on our private roads, we're allowed to make more stringent requirements than what the basic law allows for. So in order to provide safety, then the language in there, for example, with daylight hours, that just, again, helps us protect. And we can restrict on our own private roads beyond what the normal rules of the road are on public highways. So I don't see that as being a problem. It's what we're trying to do is provide for the safety. It does exclude the nighttime driving in the event of an emergency or something, but I don't see any reason. This is just me, and I'm not much of an ATVer. I have a Razor, but cruising around at 40 miles an hour after dark is a recipe for a disaster as we get more and more members and non-members using the roads up there. Just my opinion.
Barry, if something did happen where somebody was going at 40 miles an hour on our roads, we could say, hey, well, you had a rule that you shouldn't have been doing that is basically what is protecting us. And then they
exactly.
can't come at us and say, hey, you know, you should have been doing whatever. And if they just make it so they can't say, we didn't know I shouldn't be going 40 miles an hour at night kind of scenario. We told you. And
it's there to protect. Yes, it's there to protect us to say that we didn't encourage or allow the dangerous behavior. We prohibited the dangerous behavior, and they violated the rule in doing that. So that's on them.
Yeah, Bart.
So some people here on the ranch use OHVs for their commuting back and forth, visiting other parcels. So we're saying they can't do that at night?
That's what the rule has said.
Only in emergency purposes can they go visit their neighbor? I mean, to me, that's a little bit extreme.
Well, not only that, but people will go up on the pinks to watch the sunset and stuff.
I think we're kind of starting to split hairs where it says the use of OHVs for recreational purposes is limited to hours between. So,
but the first part says except in an emergency. So, I mean, recreation.
Yeah, but if you look at what it said before,
before that,
it didn't even have that exception in there. So before the old one, if you look at the old one, it just said not between like 8 and 10 or something along those lines.
I think the other one, the previous one, seems fine.
So there's a lot of discussion on this one. I know that there's a meeting to go forward, so we don't necessarily need to approve the change at this point in time.
Can you just ask Barry, because I know that every year I have to get a permit online to operate my UHV, right?
Right.
It's not street legal.
Yep.
You thought code has changed/session, so maybe we're already covered and we can eliminate some of this and just hang up signs, you know, some of the verbiage like you're saying. If we can have Barry look up the new code and see if that protects us, you know, just a few signs around on the south end, that might be sufficient.
Barry, did you hear that?
It sounds like they feel like the UHV code just changed and want me to look it up and see what the current restrictions are.
And if that provided us enough protection or liability with the new restrictions on the
I'm more than happy to look them up and send in my opinion as to what it says and what the changes are and how much protection it gives us. But I guarantee the new, whatever the code says isn't going to address items like speed limits and those kind of things. So we still need to address some of it, but I can at least give you an overview of what it says and what changes we may want to incorporate.
Okay. So board, I guess we've got multiple options here. We can just table this one for now and get more information if you guys want us to look into more stuff with that. If there's a motion to approve any of this, we can do that as well. I have no preference.
I don't think we should approve it if it's not final. If we're still looking into it, we should wait on that point.
Okay, so motion's been made to the table, Section 8.02 through 8.04. Can I get a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
One quick comment on the signage. I think that's a good idea. It's the only way to put something out there especially non-members that are just coming through as a sign, but there's got to be the North Forest entry
South Slide Canyon, South Middle Canyon, West Broad Hollow, and the East Podunk are the entrances to the private ground. So,
and Scott, you wrote all those down?
Well, three of the five were already included, and Dan added, or Colin, somebody added Broad Hollow,
I think.
But they eliminated it. Podunk is a major access, especially, I know, during later in the year, an elk hunter, they come in ATV up Podunk and across, and so that's our entrance point, even though there's a ton of BLM ground in between point A and point B, C and D. And
okay, so that one's been tabled. I'm going to go back to the beginning and hopefully can run through the rest of these really quick, again, in the interest of time. Okay, so starting at the beginning, we got section two. This is related to camping. The original talked about for RV or tents. And then there's just some verbiage changes. And not talking about non-associate members checking in with the ranch caretaker, members, guests. So this has got quite a bit of a rewrite. So I'll just read the new rules. It says, no camping on the ranch shall be permitted except according to the following provisions. Tent camping, dry camping. Members and their guests are welcome to camp on their lot, which is their own private land at any time. Other approved and designated camping areas on DSROA common grounds are provided for the use and enjoyment of members. So previously it was asking, or you had to go figure out where you might camp. So we listed some of the approved camping areas. So the approved camping locations are in the Wet Meadow, the Fish Pond area, Broad Hollow, the Well Field, and near the Forest Gate and Ranch Headquarters. Before camping, members and their guests must check in with the ranch caretaker to find out which camping locations are available. Camping fees. Member camping fee. There's no fee for a member to camp in designated camping locations. Non-member camping fee. Non-association members camping on approved DSROA common grounds must pay a $10 per night fee. Cabin over occupancy fee. So there was part of the cabin stuff that talked about over occupancy, and it was kind of intended for people that camped in the cabin that also added tents or whatever that way. So that fee, members camping next to any association cabin using the cabin facilities must pay a $10 per night fee to help defray the costs of goods used from the cabins if the occupancy of the cabin exceeded or the occupancy of the cabin is exceeded. And that kind of aligns with that over occupancy on the cabin side. Shower facilities. Shower facilities are available in the ranch headquarters for individuals at the rate of 5 per day. Towels are provided. Then the camping rules. Camping time limit is 14 days. Camp maintenance. All campers should leave their campsite a little better and cleaner than they found it. Campfires. Campfires are not allowed on DSROA common grounds except for the approved fire pit at headquarters. Please contact the ranch caretaker for more information. Please also refer to Section 5 below. Section 5 goes over more fire stuff. So that's Section 2. Any questions or comments on camping? Phone numbers, anybody? Hey.
I do. Start. So the original says that they basically you can camp in designated camping areas for RVs or tents on DSROA common grounds. So it says includes. Is there any place that's excluded? In the list, in the new one, it says the approved camping locations include XYZ. But there's a whole lot of common ground, so is it really everything?
Other
what are the areas?
Well, it says other approved and designated areas, and then we listed designated areas.
Well, no, it doesn't. It says includes these.
Yeah, but before that, it says other approved and designated tent camping areas on DSR common grounds are provided for the use and enjoyment of members. So it's saying that there are designated areas. It doesn't specifically say that there are areas that are prohibited. but there are designated areas for camping.
So, I mean, is it all association grounds or just these ones that are listed and include? The approved camping locations.
The intent was just the designated areas.
Okay, so it's not really include.
Beforehand, it says other approved and designated areas for camping. And before that, it says no camping is permitted on the ranch except for the following provisions. So only the ones that are approved. So everything that's not on the list is disapproved. Because that was new verbiage too at the very beginning. No camping on the ranch shall be permitted except for on your own lot and in the designated areas.
Well, that's my question. Like we were talking yesterday about lot one, every once in a while is used for girls' camp, boys' camps, stuff like that.
Currently, it's not designated. So, if lot one did need to be, it would need to be added to the list of designated. Okay.
We got the association lots. Could they be added to that, where the association lots could be used for purposes like that?
That could be just arranged privately.
Well, that's kind of what I'm saying. It's like the association lands shouldn't be excluded from people to use. That's kind of what it seems to be saying. And I really don't like that.
Lot one is not a common area.
It's commonly owned.
It's an association property.
Yeah.
Which means we all own it, right? So I can walk on there if I want to. Anybody can walk on there. Anybody can do anything they want on there. So why can't I camp there?
Yeah, just briefly on that same point, and Larry, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I was under the understanding that those four association lots were more or less intended from their inception, at least 74 and 75, for that purpose, camping membership usage.
198, is that one applied?
Yeah,
198, yeah. 74, 75, and 1.
So why are we restricted? That's my question. It's like, why? I'm sorry.
Because I think there's some common areas, like I don't know if we want people camping out on the airfield necessarily. I mean, I don't know if there's something wrong with that, but
the airfield is addressed separately in the rules and regs.
Not for camping. It's talked about for the driving.
If they list it as all common area you can camp in, then
the airfield would be.
Yeah, to me, it's more like you should exclude. There are so many areas on the ranch you could camp on because it's common ground. You should just list what you can't
include.
You should just list what's excluded. You know, the gravel pit.
Barry, are you still on?
Yep, I'm still here.
Yeah, you helped draft some of this up. Did you have any thoughts or comments on that? Are you hearing what they're talking about?
I'm hearing and points are taken. However, I think the intent in looking in designated before it was just open. Hey, you can camp anywhere. I don't think we necessarily want to just say you can camp anywhere on the common areas. I don't mind whether we exclude specific areas or include specific areas, but it needs to be defined. The idea was to define areas that we can camp in, because, again, this applies to members and non-members, and the enjoyment of the ranch to some extent is we don't want to drive up the road and have 50 tents right along the road through the, you know, through Broad Hollow necessarily without, I think we just want to have specific designated areas so that the rules are more enforceable and clearer. If you guys decide you want to say we want to list the excluded areas, I'm okay with that. We just need to go to work, do that. If you want to say these are the areas we anticipate an authorized camping, obviously these can be changed later on. But if the issue is we need to include the commonly owned, the four commonly owned lots, we can include that. But at the end of the day, from a legal perspective, we want it to be clear and black and white rather than this ambiguous, do whatever you want until we tell you we can't, because that will cause problems down the road.
So, again, based on those responses, we can add additional areas to it, or we can exclude this in the future. Or we can table this one, too, for further discussion or additions. So you guys want to move on with this one, or is this one that we can
move the table?
I second that.
Okay, so we're tabling the cabin section.
Page 156. So looking at the rest of this and extrapolating how this is going, we're going to be here all damn day again.
Yep.
Here's something that
personally, it's probably my fault for not participating in Facebook groups. I saw these 2 days ago. One of those days was spent getting my butt up here, so I had no time to review them. But I have some thoughts, but this is not a good forum for this kind of stuff. This needs to be done separately, and a lot of it needs to be like annotating what you sent out. Other people need to annotate it and send it back.
So
right now, our hit rate is pretty awful. It's 2 for 2. We don't want it. So you're going to have to do that anyway.
Understood. So
I suggest you table the whole damn thing until the next meeting so people can look at it.
Okay, that works as well. So we do have the bylaws committee. So if you want to participate in those discussions, that's why we're trying to get the group.
That involves me participating in Facebook, which I don't.
These are Zoom meetings. This is all we're doing in the bylaws committee.
And
so.
Notifications for those are
email.
Well, I'm not getting them.
Well, so we asked in this meeting, we asked in communications if you wanted to contact me, and then I will. So if you want to participate, no. So first option. So I agree with that, especially with the cabin stuff going on. This is probably going to take longer than we have today. So
there's a few things we can add. The one thing that struck me is when you guys talk about mufflers on ATVs a whole lot. Not one mention of flame arresters, spark arresters, which are an integral part of that, but can be separated from the muffler.
You saw a lot covered in
that. Yeah, and I hope it does. But
it does on that. Yeah. He's talking about that. I don't know if anybody understands that.
The noise.
In order to operate an OHV in Utah, you have to go online and pass a code. It talks about noise restrictions. It talks about speed.
And that is incorporated in here as well, that they have to abide by the rules. So.
Some things in some other language, but I didn't have any time to do any of this.
And I appreciate that. So, again, we're doing this kind of in iteration, and just so you know how things happen. Yep. The cabin committee finished up with it on Tuesday. The notices go out for the meeting on Wednesday. So if you guys want another month for it, I'm totally fair. These don't have to be changed today.
Bylaws
committee, yeah.
But I would also say that the bylaws committee, and this is not what I think, and maybe I was under the misconception, the bylaws committee makes recommended changes that we would then vote on, but we should still get input from everybody. And 2 days probably isn't sufficient, so I would agree with that.
Yeah.
So we want to give...
Our rate of passage is not good at this point.
Okay. So they've been...
It speaks to me that nobody had a chance to...
Okay. So, Yeah, we're probably going to have more additions. We're trying to bring additions as they were coming along each time. We're close to... Well, I mean, obviously, we'll need to hear your feedback.
Yeah. Is the intent for this to be voted on in the next annual meeting?
So the rules and regulations, no, because the board can approve the rules and regulations. There is going to be preparation that we're still working on the bylaws as well, that there will be changes there that will be, and we'll definitely give on the bylaws side more notice from that perspective. But, the rules and regulations are voted on by the board and can be updated just with them. So again, the board probably needs more time too, it seems to consider that. So I'll make a motion that we table the review of these and open up the members if they want to send communication to myself and or participate in the bylaws committee. It is send me an email. We'll put you on the Zoom invite. We do Zoom meetings to facilitate those and discussion and review that way.
Your approach to that would be when you have a fairly solid document email list.
Okay. We can do that.
So this is a solid document, I think, but besides maybe some of those comments, but maybe we should get a deadline for when comments can come in so we actually have some actionable document next meeting.
We can do that.
So in 2 weeks, all comments should be due in 2 weeks, give you time to incorporate them in, and then we can send them out a week prior so people have time to read them, just something like so there's a process. Otherwise, we'll just be doing this again next month.
Okay. We'll definitely do that, and we'll communicate that out through Danielle as well, so everybody has that same communication. I think Dan had some concerns as well that there weren't enough opportunity for the members to participate, so we'll take that advice into consideration. And I make a motion that we table the discussion of the rules and regulations and to give those opportunity and send out that notice to the members. So, can I second it? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Kate. I appreciate that.
Not a problem. Thanks for the suggestion.
I got to have time to do it. I'm still working. Still got to make money.
We recognize that, and we don't need to rush it just to get it done. So we'll work through that. We'll get your feedback there. Yeah, I think I'm the next one on the agenda too, right?
You're roads, and you're up again.
Okay. So real quick update on roads. I think we got 6 or 7 projects in the works for roads. You've seen Larry's been doing work on here around the headquarters. There's work being done to the upper cabins, and there's planned work on several other areas. That I can go ahead and send you out a list of those roads that are being done. Currently today, with the culvert purchases that we've done and the road maintenance that's planned, we're about halfway through our road budget for the year. So just kind of go from there. And then also make people aware that we are giving preference to individuals and people that are contributing. So we've had a couple of members that have bought culverts, and then we're contributing some of the labor and stuff that way. So if you've got problem areas, let us know, and we'll kind of proceed from there. In the subject of culverts, my son Hiram wants to give a quick presentation on an Eagle project that he'd like to do and get approval for the board in order to start planning that and get that put together. So I'll give him a couple minutes to do that, and we'll keep on moving on. Talk close to the mic.
All right.
Talk loud for everybody.
All right, so what's up? I'm Hiram, like my dad said. So thank you for taking the time to this board meeting for this presentation. So what I'm pretty much seeking today is for you guys to act as my beneficiary in helping getting my project started and granting permission to get it up and off the ground. So this is something that I'm trying to do before I turn 18 and age out of this program. So I'm just trying to hurry and get it done as fast as I can. So hopefully you guys are all aware or at least familiar with what an Eagle project consists of. The main points are to demonstrate leadership, planning, and development by benefiting a religious or charitable organization or the community. So what I hope to do is hope benefit Deer Springs project with this ranch. What this project is a documentation of the culverts. So the project itself is to organize a volunteer day, hopefully over Memorial Weekend, to start documenting these roads. Deer Springs Ranch is a huge place with many roads. And so pretty much what we're trying to do is get the scouts and volunteers to come out here and drive throughout the roads looking for culverts and documents and document the following items: the size of the culverts, the type of culvert it is, and if it needs to be cleaned out, and also like marking it down like where it is on the GPS so we can find them and keep track of where all these culverts are. So afterwards, after we get all this data, I'll compile it all into one big spreadsheet that I'll be able to turn over to you guys, and you guys will be able to look at it and review it and access all this data. So it is my hope to invite all the members of Deer Springs Ranch not only to act as my benefactor for this project, but to get the Deer Springs family and community involved in this too. So what I'll be doing is making a Google form and an email list to sign up and help document these roads and culverts. If there are any members that are willing or wanting to help out, all help is welcomed. So what I'll be having the members do is pretty much do this through the month of, would that be May?
May.
Yeah. So I'll have them kind of do this throughout the month of May. This will give us time. We'll give the members time to help return that data by Memorial Day over that Memorial Weekend, like I just said, where we'll have the scouts come out and do a camp out at our property, in our lot, where the scouts and volunteers will spend that Saturday and Monday documenting the roads, not chosen by the members. And then after that, we'll invite all participants to a cookout to hopefully celebrate our success of this project. So in conclusion, this planning is still pretty much in its infancy stages, but by acting as my benefactor, you are helping this project get off the ground and started. So if you guys have any questions to the initial outline or layout of it, I'm all looking for that.
Actually, I do have a question more for Cade, because being the property owner, I'm assuming that you are sponsoring from your lot the guests.
So the guests would actually be staying on my lot. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. My assumption is correct, then. Thank you.
I would make a suggestion. I think this is a great, I'm all in favor of it. I would simply suggest some of the things that you document in your spreadsheet to include, like you already mentioned, size, length, and diameter of culverts, the type, whether they're steel, plastic, concrete, and then make a notation of the condition, whether it's physically damaged, if they're clean all the way through, if they're plugged one end or the other, or damaged, just some suggestions of some of the information that you'll include. But I think it's a great idea.
Thanks, appreciate it.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
I have one more suggestion. I think this is a great project as well. I know you're going to be doing GPS coordinates when you do it, but if you're going to be creating a spreadsheet so that we can import it into a GPS shape file, can you please put lat longs as XY coordinates so I can pull it in easily into a shape file?
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to do some sort of training with whoever wants to participate in the instructions related to that and have it all filled out and stuff that way. Yeah. So we do want to get members to kind of participate during that month. And he was talking about signing up for a road that, you know, you drive up and down those roads all the time, probably know where they're at. So if you could take a road and help document one of the roads.
Are you going to document numbers, give a number to each one? Or
I think eventually we can do that, but the first thing is just identify. Identify where they're at, then we can take that data and start doing some stuff along those lines.
One thing that could go along with this, especially with the members that are involved, right now, for instance, on Meadow Canyon Road, from headquarters to the Iron Gate, there are 22 culverts. There should be probably 42 or more. There are a lot of places that we need culverts that we don't have culverts. That's why we continue to get more and more and bigger erosions, as we're carrying too much water too far and then inundating a small culvert because of the flow. So as the scouts, I mean, it's not rocket science. It's pretty obvious when you drive along the road and you see a natural ravine coming down the hillside and it has no way to cross the road.
And then
where's that water going? It's got to go downstream to the next culvert. So maybe to take a note and say, here's a spot that should have a culvert that does not. Here's a spot.
And that's also a way for them to help define culverts that might be buried too, right?
That's another thing. There are more than a dozen culverts on the ranch right now that nobody knows they're there. There's one over in Crawford that Kurt didn't even know was there until I dug it out as I came back by from Kevin's last.
Well, we found one up on the cabin road
the
other day too. So yeah, and I think we'd forgotten the length of the culvert, so that was a good reminder for him too. So Mike, I think you had a comment.
Timing, I know you mentioned Memorial Day for a lot of it. Is there like an end date? We want to have it done by date.
Memorial Day was the end date. That was our goal. So, kind of culminated with when the scouts were going to be out here. That day might still be a little bit in flux too, because it's a holiday weekend. We're not sure if we'll be able to get scouts out over that weekend, and they're just graduating from school too. So we'll keep you posted.
From us, obviously, we take a vote as a board to say we approve or we say yay to this project.
Yeah, basically, so normally there might be some funding and stuff associated with this, but since this is just a documentation project, we felt like there's not really much to fund. So have everybody bring shovels so they can help dig out and measure and stuff that way, but he really didn't come up with any funding requirements.
I was going to suggest that there are minimum things that could be done in the process. When I used to do roof inspections and repairs, I could do minimal repairs while I was doing an inspection or schedule, come back, and this is a major repair. This culvert, we can't shovel out in 2 minutes, but there's no sense in going looking at it and seeing it's got a 5-minute fix. Let's take the 5 minutes and fix it instead of just document, because by the time somebody reads that document and comes back around next month to unplug that 5-minute fix, now it's a 2-hour fix.
So that'd be really, really helpful.
They've got to dig it out enough to be able to measure it. So yeah, we figured they're bringing shovels and stuff that way.
You know, like when we looked at the one on the cabin hill that was buried, yep, it took Jeff and me 5 minutes to determine, is this really – you look at a culvert and you think, oh, it's an 18-inch, and then you realize, oh, I'm seeing 18 inches because it's a 24 that's squished and I'm only seeing this part of it. Or it's a 36, but it looks like a 24, or it's a a PVC pipe that's not any good at all, period.
So along with this, he does have to take into consideration safety issues. And, Kevin, you were kind of bringing up liability and stuff that way. We can have them all signed waivers. Is there any other safety concerns he needs to be worried about? The scouts can't drive, so they'll have an adult driver with them, and that will help. There's going to be at least two people to help dig something out.
That would have been my next question, would have been who's driving, and you've already answered that. So
take them to the top end of the ranch with mountain bikes and drop them off, and they can just coast downhill and shovel over the shoulder, and one guy on the back balancing with the clipboard.
The radio to the crew behind them, hey, come shovel this one.
Okay. Yeah. So basically, they just need he needs approval to. He's going to have to go through multiple approvals as well with the scouts. First, he wanted to get approval from you guys to be able to take it to them. So this is all pending their approval as well. But
I'm going to make a motion.
Move to move forward with this proposal from the scouts for the culvert documentation project.
I will second that approval for Hiram Hoff.
Okay. All in favor?
So I guess the other question, though, too, is he needs to have a point of contact. I think it would kind of be nice if it's not me. So anybody want to volunteer to – or Larry? Brent or Larry?
I'd be happy to be the point of contact, but I'm worried about that hair. But, no, I'd be happy to be the point of contact. And so
what he meant to say was jealous, not worried. I'm working on it. I'm trying to get there.
All right.
Hey, thanks, Hiram.
Hey, thank you. Kate, anything else?
That's all I've got.
Thank you. Agriculture, Bart and Scott. Thistle erosion, the irrigation fencing.
It's basically where it was last month. We haven't had a chance, or I haven't had a chance to get with the county commissioner or that on the thistle and then the erosion, basically, unless Larry's done something.
I did a little more on the one that was cutting right inside of the entrance to headquarters. I still have yet to go walk and look at this disaster over here, but
yeah, I looked a little bit. I don't know what the answer is over here.
One thing that we're working on, I talked with Brent a little bit. The old irrigation ditch used to come from the Half Moon Diversion down to the Half Moon Reservoir, all down along the well field, and eventually across above this road. This used to be the county road right here.
There used to be the ditch right
And
along.
The ditch is above it, and it flowed this direction and around to these, what we called the polywog ponds. When we brought the water line and power line down through the cabin hill, a lot of that, the culvert was destroyed, and we have not maintained the water flow. So now when we get a big monsoon storm, a flood comes down that road, jumps the old county road and through the corrals and floods out all of headquarters. So I'm reestablishing the drainage and taking half of the flow around and into the polywog ponds. There's four big culverts, some of the new cave concrete culverts will take water under the main entrance road into the polywog ponds. The other half of the water, instead of trying to reestablish the culvert, I'm a little afraid of messing with it right there because we have our water main and our power main, and those are two things that I don't like to dig out if I don't have to. So I'm going to take the west side of the water down and to the polywog ponds. The east side of the water is going to come down, and I'm going to grade the old irrigation ditch, which it's almost flat anyway, so it doesn't take a bunch to make water flow east. I'll bring it over here and down and out here. And the only way to correct this big erosion over here is to – we can't just keep pushing dirt in it and then allow the water to continue to go in it. It'll just wash away whatever we put. So I'm going to probably create a small, like, retention pond. So water from that direction from the well field will actually be held there long enough to – it will supply some water for livestock to, you know, grow a good crop of mosquitoes and other beneficial creatures, but
can we slope it a little bit and plant grass seed on it to help?
What we need to do is do a drop. So we have a pond and have a drop culvert, so the water's flowing through that culvert down and out instead of over a bank that'll erode and cut.
Okay.
So I'll probably steal the old septic tank that we took out of the garden cabin and use it as a place to drop, you know, to gain some elevation. But it's all just, you know, in the spare time between
right.
other things.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was...
Well, I don't have any more unless Bart has something.
No, I don't. Started putting the irrigation systems in here.
Right.
So I just, those changes as we do them, I'd like to update them in here too.
Okay.
All right. Kevin, you're up. Cabin committee, volunteer weekend, garden cabin stairs, and cabin one wall.
Okay.
What do you speak?
First of all, thanks to Brent, the Collins, and whoever else may have been involved in the electric repairs on 6-8, etc. I know Larry was certainly involved with digging and reburying and doing all the nice dirt work. That is accomplished. Cabin 6, the enclosure for the water heater is done. The lights in Cabin 6 are done. All of the lower cabins are now open. We're still sorting through issues, but they do have water and gas and power, I believe, to all of them now, with 6 having lights.
Well, I haven't turned the power in, but I can at any point in time.
And not necessary for right now, for sure. Okay, some of the issues that we've encountered, frozen water heater and damaged in Cabin 7, on order. I don't know if they're here yet, but if not, they will be shortly. We'll get to some of these other issues in just a moment. First of all, I want to thank Danielle. Thank you so much for assisting with ordering parts and materials in a timely fashion. It's a great benefit. I want to thank the cabin committee and especially Mike McNichols. You've been a great person to work with. A lot is being done with the cabin committee. They've got their planned event this weekend and through the week if anyone is here and available to do that. I hate to report that it's a limited scope of what they can do, and that is primarily due to finance. Unfortunately, and we'll get to that ugly part of the report, we started off with a budget of $12,000. We've allocated the purchases that Mike has personally made of $845, $14, $426, $89. The water heaters were $501, $28. CO2 smoke detectors, $975, $90. Home Depot order, $4,292, $87. And stair risers for $199, $55. Out of that $12,000 leaves us a current budget of $5,259.65. Out of that, I need $2,000 emergency fund for what is probably going to be needed. Unfortunately, we have a water heater that did not want to light or stay lit. Hopefully, we can resolve that. If not, we can strike another water heater. Upon further inspection of the upper cabins, there was a lot of problems discovered on the roofs. The tin on cabin 1 is torn and flapping. The tin on cabin 2 is torn and flapping. There is a lot of bolts or screws missing from the tin on cabin 4. All of those cabins need to be revisited on the roof. There's a lot of missing boots over the vent pipes and sewer vent pipes, missing caps off of stove pipes, and then Brent brought to my attention the need to have these chimneys cleaned because they have not been cleaned in a number of years to prevent chimney fires. So this list of roof problems is a current growing list, which I do not have a solid number on. So I don't know where we're going to come up with additional funds, because even after that, I still have to have the usual operating budget for the cabins as well, and then whatever else that falls under infrastructure's umbrella. So basically, at the moment, we're pretty much tapped with what we can do and what we're facing. So unless, I know you guys have been raising some funds, unless those funds are available for some usages, I don't know where we're going to come up with any more money. So that's just kind of where we are. And with that, I think that's pretty much got it at the moment. So.
All right. Well, thanks, Kevin. Okay, Bart, you're up. And Gary, are you still on the line? Gary Clark?
Is anybody on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
That's Gary?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. This is Gary Clark.
Ask your question about the verbiage on that document you got.
It's in regards to if for some reason that the DSR isn't able to supply the water to the lot for unknown reasons. And therefore, the lot owner would not be responsible for the monthly charge, obviously. My question is if something happens to where it's unusable, is that $5,000 connection fee then refunded back to the property owner?
Well, I think that's a...
Did you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I would say no. I mean, the connection was made. So that clause in the water connection is if there's an issue in the system, right? And it's, if there's an issue in providing you water, there's going to be an issue providing everybody else water. And so it's our job to fix the system
exactly.
to make sure we have water come down here. And so really that's just, you know, if there's an emergency or some unforeseen accident that, you know, say we had a, contamination in the 40,000 gallon tank. So we had to stop usage until we cleaned it. Now we would have to bring it back online again. But in that interim, you wouldn't have water. So it's not, we
right.
leave you hanging there. Yeah.
Yeah. The intent is not to do away with the system ever. If we, I mean, unless some, I don't think we could guarantee 100% it'll never go away. But
well, this is, I mean,
there is no guarantee of water.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we,
connection, there has never been a guarantee of water. That is in every agreement since the connection.
Right. I mean, if we didn't supply water, I mean, you're actually the first tap. The connections up there are first in line of service. So, you know, you're going to get water before we are.
Well, I'm just... I just was reading this and comparing it to the old agreement, and I agree with Danielle that it is put it, the verbiage is still in there. I was just curious as to what would ever cause us not to have water, but if we don't have water, the rest of the ranch for the most part doesn't have water
right.
down
I think
below
the reasons
us. So
why,
obviously,
the reasons why you would not have water, say we had a pump failure. And the pump was shut down. It took time to replace that pump. Or we had a contamination of the system where we had to shut it down. Those are the only, you know, some break in the collection system. Those are the only, or indoor distribution system. Those are the only reasons why I could see you not having water.
All of them are of a temporary nature, a water outage providing. If it were possible for that service to go away and the ranch to refund you $5,000, that probably would have been the first option that we would have chosen on everybody's, is just to say, hey, here's your $5,000 back for your connection fee. Good luck with water. That would be better for everybody else involved
right.
except for the four people that own those four lots.
Obviously, it was a big reason why we purchased the lot was for the water access.
Yeah.
So, and if that was the case, then we would just drill our own well to guarantee water. So that's where that $5,000 would go to if it ever became an issue. But I don't see it becoming an issue. So I just wanted to get clarification on that. In regards to the project, what give me some updates on what we're looking at from a time frame. I keep hearing it's 1 month and another month and another month, and then I was out there a couple of months ago. I met with Kurt, and we were walking the property, and it was a suggestion of putting the tank in another location than what is on the plans, which I'm completely okay with. I just don't know where we're at with this project. So if you can enlighten me, I'm all ears.
The actual execution of the work was going to be scheduled between Kurt and the lot owners. I need to coordinate, contact him to get the exact updates on that. I already spoke with the Division of Drinking Water. They are fine with us making modifications to the plan. Their only requirement is to have the booster pump set up. Modifications to the engineering, they are completely fine with. So if we want to change the location of the tank, that's great. If we want to change the distance from the meter to the tank, that's fine. They don't care. So above ground to underground, they don't care. They just want to have a booster pump and make sure we have that air gap between the public water system and the tank that the individual lot members pump from.
Gary, this is Larry Clarkson. I can't say exactly, but I would say I really think that the work would be done like the first week or so of May. Just some of the rough guesstimates on timing of everything else that's going on. I think we're going to tackle yours and Marco's kind of simultaneously because they're right there side by side. We just have not determined whether the tanks are going to be 20 feet from the meter or 60 feet from the meter, somewhere that works into the tree line and aesthetics and the elevations of the dirt. But I think that's kind of the direction you could plan for.
All right. Well, that's great because we plan on being out on the property on the 1st of May. So I'd love to walk it with you and or Kurt again if he's available. But we came up with some good ideas in locations. And that's why I was kind of hesitant about bringing this up because I don't want to waste everyone else's time in regards to this issue because it only impacts four people and not the entire group. But if we could meet out there, that would be great. My last question is what, in regards to what we're responsible for, is there anything outside of what's already existing that we need as property owners to add to it? So I know that there's a meter that's required and a backflow preventer, and it's my understanding that that's already existing out there. Is that not correct?
We're going to reuse
that to save money?
The meter exists. The backflow preventer is coming from Schultzen's. I think you are. Don't you already have a booster pump?
I do, but it's inoperable. I've been waiting for a line to come in.
So let me
yeah, ask. Go ahead, Brent.
So everything that is downstream of the tank, everything downstream of the tank is responsibility of the lot owner. So, and that needs to be in compliance with International Plumbing Code. And then additionally, there'll need to be a recording on the lot title that a booster pump is required for connection to the water system.
And
after
that's only
coming
that's
out of the tank.
After everything coming out of the tank.
And that's
gotcha.
To protect,
I agree with that. I have no problem with that.
And to protect each lot owner and the association so that if you sold next month and the next owner looks at it and says, I'm taking out this booster pump and just hard piping in the line, then we're all back in the same situation with the drinking water, Division of Drinking Water, that's going to shut us down. Because there's not an air gap and a pressure pump, and so it will be recorded on your lot that that connection requires a lot owner-owned and maintained booster pump system.
And the only unresolved issue at this time is an unresolved issue at this time for these connections is it was the Deer Springs Ranch committed to $20,000, so $5,000 per connection. Right now, our costs are going above that. We don't have a final cost yet because there are some returns. We're going to get some credits back. So we don't know what that overage is. and we need to decide.
We really shouldn't be over. The overage that has been reported is headquarters, other repair costs down here. The cost of the system there is not.
Okay, it's not. Yeah. My understanding was 22. The total price was 22, not the 25 that's on the the P&L. It was 22 for the total purchase, so we need to see what that is, if there's anything over.
The big difference is we already have 4 meters, and that price includes 4 new meters, and they're not cheap.
So we just need to see what that total is, and there may be a little bit that's asked of the lot owners, but we'll have to see on that once we get it finalized. So that's the 40.
Okay, I think that's fair.
Okay. So really, I'll get with Kurt on the schedule for all the other lots. Before we get to the Johnny Brown thing, just a quick update. I don't know the impact to us yet, but there's a new requirement for public water systems to test for PFAS. And so that rule was approved on the 10th of April. And how it will be implemented, still waiting for it. Last time I checked in one of my other capacities, that test costs around $900.
Test for what?
PFAS, perfluorinated alkyl substances. Basically, it's the three, all those PFOA, PFAS. It's a contamination that is, highly carcinogenic. It's in a lot of, it's contaminated a lot of things because of it's used in waterproofing products. It's used in Teflon. It's used in a whole lot of things that are kind of pervasive in our throughout the environment. There was no maximum contaminant level ever established, except they knew it was toxic, and then they had recommended maximum contaminant levels, but not actual anything with enforceable teeth. The level is in the parts per billion. I think we're pretty pristine here, but we still have to test for it as a public water system. And the issue really is not that I think we have a contamination. It's that it's an expensive test. And so that will affect our budget.
Awesome. Just once?
Don't know yet. The rule, implementation of the rules. But that's coming down the pipe. Also last month I did our, water reporting. I completed our water reporting to the state through the Division of Water Rights. We are well below our allowable water usage, so we need to use more water. And again, following on the recommendations from the water rights reporting, I think irrigation is the best way for us to execute or to utilize our water and perfect it. Johnny Brown update. Yes.
We're still doing some homework on Johnny Brown. Can we not bring it up at this point, or what are you doing?
There's a Johnny Brown update. If people want to have a Johnny Brown update, they're working on the Johnny Brown system. They're working on stuff internally.
Yep.
But I will say that generally the intent right now is for the board to, upon request from the members, to segregate to those individual lot members 0.25 acre feet of water from the two water rights that are located in the Oak Springs point of diversion. So that's kind of where we're going with that.
Mike, you had a question we were talking about. Did you get
answers? Okay. Already got answers.
Right. And we passed our drinking water test for earlier in the month. So drink all the water you want. That's all I have.
That's it?
Yep.
Okay, Cade, you're up again. Store petting zoo volunteer thing.
So one of the duties currently of the ranch manager is to maintain the store. And that's been kind of overwhelming. So we're trying to take some of the stuff off the plate of the ranch manager. So we'd like to put that out as an opportunity for volunteers if somebody would like to work on the store. And there are some people that have talked about that. Kurt has requested that he be reimbursed for the materials that are in the store. He puts that current value at about $2,000, but I don't have an exact inventory of that yet. My recommendation that is whoever takes over as the volunteer to do that, maybe they just continue to sell. I don't know that we've got the funds right now to purchase $2,000 worth of inventory back, but just looking to try and take that off of Kurt's plate and see if there's volunteers willing to do that and open it up to the membership to do that. My wife has expressed a little bit of interest, but I don't know if she's really serious about it or not, but that's...
So in the past, different years, we've operated the store and or slash the store and the petting zoo kind of got
combined together.
They're not necessarily married in any way, shape, or form, but may make sense to keep them together and whatnot. But the store itself has been operated as a DSROA revenue stream or loss carry forward, whatever you want to call it. And it has been operated different years as individual, private. I think the last go-around, Kurt bought inventory, and any money he made on the store was Kurt's money, not ranch money.
Well, and he was trying to put it back into the petting zoo, too.
Yeah,
so
that's kind of how he was funding it. But so I just wanted to be clear, if somebody wants to take over the store and run it, when you say volunteer, I don't know that we're asking for somebody, you know, Bob, we want you to come volunteer, take over the store, and make money for the ranch. Can you do that?
Yeah.
Be here every day, sell ice cream. Yeah. Yeah, that'll work. That would be more attended than we have some other years, so who knows. But I don't know if that's what we're asking to say. Is somebody wanting to set up a little shop and sell hats, t-shirts, ice cream, ice?
We need guidance, yeah. From
jerky.
I think there's both opportunities, right? If nobody wants to do it from a money-making perspective on their own, I think we could – if there was an option for that, I think we can entertain that. Or if the board wanted it to, again, come back into the ranch, but then it might be a loss like you're talking about.
Well, so I'm not opposed to either way, but
– you need to be clear which way.
Be clear what's happening and how. I know there have been years when it's kind of like – seems like people think it's just a free-for-all and – I would hate to have to try to keep track of how many bags of peanuts or M&Ms or ice cream bars get ruined by somebody accidentally unplugging a fridge or not paying attention when it gets shut off or just, you know, these two-legged mice that wander around and nibble on things.
Well, and I guess the question, too, is the store important? We've actually got in the cabin information that there is an expectation to have a store here. So do we want to have a store?
I don't personally have any information to know how many cabin people have ever come down and bought something out of the store.
Does the store lack then open? Ever since I've been a member, 4 or 5 years, we've been here many times and can't purchase, you know, anything. So when was the last time there was been a functioning...
It's been functioning. I mean, I've gone in and bought ice creams and sodas and M&Ms and jerky and licorice.
Well, and that's some of the things I think that need to be improved. We've got Wi-Fi down here at the ranch now. Maybe we can offer some Venmo options because I don't know that everybody brings cash. Having exact change is kind of a problem too. You know, I've come down and bought things and I threw in an extra $5 because I didn't have the exact change for whatever. So I think there's issues that if we're going to do it, we need to look at some of those issues.
I request if it's going to be a personal store, not go back to the ranch, that there's a sign, please do not go to the ranch, or something along those lines. Because it's kind of deceptive.
Yeah, we can do that.
Is there any interest? Is anybody, I mean, is this something we're throwing it out there to, you know, we're shooting baskets on a tennis court.
Yeah. I'm going to remember that one. That's pretty good.
I have a little bit of interest. I do my business out here. I do tours out here for a point of contact for my patrons to meet me out here.
Yeah.
You know, that might be a benefit for both of us where they can buy water and a snack, you know, that goes to back to the HOA. And I just use it as a point of the bathroom. Place of parking, you know. So I would like to talk to the board maybe in the future about maybe doing something that would be beneficial to both. Because right now, I meet people in Cannonville at the park down there. It's just a bathroom, public bathroom. So people come across here all the time for my tours, you know, so it'd be close enough from 89 right here. You know, they could come across the bench and meet me here, park for my tours, and have a water bathroom break place. So maybe that would be something that we could talk about in the future. I don't know.
Oh, I think it is something that we're looking at, but I think we're looking at it like immediately, you know, if it's done, it needs to be kind of some form of it needs to be up and operational in the month of May.
Right.
Or, you know, it's just kind of.
So are you looking to actually run it and staff it, or if it was up and running, you would use it from your perspective?
I'm open Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So right now I have tours every month, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I don't have any tours on Thursday, but I'm usually out here Thursday night. So I can change easily on my booking platform. The place of contact and the place of meeting would be Deer Springs Ranch headquarters with a GPS tag, just like I do down in Cannonsville. So let's talk about later. Well, it's easy for me to do it online. It's just an edit, save, and then when they book on Viator, they're meeting me out here.
Right, but I'm just saying, are you interested in maintaining the store itself too, or just meeting here?
Sure. Well, I already offer water and snacks anyways, you know, so
having a place to have it all stored and have and
if we're not worried about it being like, I wouldn't want to have anything other than my cooler that I bring anyways, you know, so I'm not running power and refrigerated stuff, ice cream. I don't want to do like
just kind of different scope.
All that crap. It would be a nice place for my clients to have a point of parking and bathroom breaks, and then if they buy water and snacks, they go to the HOA.
Well, I think what we're looking for, too, I think they're for the cabins and stuff. Like, if you forgot a toothbrush, we're hoping to have toothbrushes here. If you forgot, you know, deodorant or whatever, that way there's maybe some stuff just to help out.
The HOA could stock the cabin, the store, however they like and whatever purchase.
So, again, it sounds like you'd be more just bringing people to actually be able to purchase stuff from it that way. So
yeah.
We still need somebody to maintain and put out shirts and whatever we're going to have in the store.
I could still do all that as part of the partnership of letting them park in the name.
Gotcha.
HOA would have to approve what goes in the store.
I mean, the thing is, like, all the inventory, Kurt purchased it. Right, so if we want to still have Deer Springs Ranch hats, Deer Springs Ranch shirts, whoever's taking this over needs to assume those responsibilities as well, getting those printed, made, and brought here so people can buy them. And so that's kind of the scope as well. So
let's talk about this all.
Yeah.
So I think what we're asking for right now is proposals. So you may have a.
Ask for interest. It's possible that it might be a marriage that we want.
I would see it as I can see it totally blending with your current operation.
You'll need that.
But maybe in conjunction with somebody else. I kind of think that somebody almost needs to at least walk in the store once a day, every day, or 5 days a week to say, "Yeah, we got robbed over the weekend." There's no
kidding.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, which is the less travel days. Anyway, so maybe there are some options. I don't know. Maybe not.
But I think we want to open it up to all the board members to there's some interest, and just maybe we'll send a notice out to everybody. That's the main objective, is to see what interest was there and what proposals people could come up with and suggestions there. So
when's the next newsletter?
That's we haven't talked about that.
Well, that's where it should go.
Yeah,
too.
We probably need to do one for spring.
Yeah.
Just briefly, I would encourage you to sit down with a notepad or whatever, flesh that out, and come up with a plan.
I will. I'll send you all a proposal, and then we can go back and forth on ideas and see if it can work out for us.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thanks, Jared.
We just know what we want first.
Willing to get paid as it gets sold?
That's what I'd like to discuss with him. Like I said, again, I don't think that the upfront $2,000 is going to be palatable for most people. But if we can keep track of this, your shirt got sold, and he has a cost or a price for that, I think that's – I'd like to propose that. I haven't discussed it with Kurt, so we can – he's amenable.
Yeah,
to doing something, and he does have more inventory than what's in the store as well. So he's trying to get a list of inventory together. So.
Well, currently, with my business model, I'm not selling hats or t-shirts. If I do, it's all online, not in a brick and mortar.
Right.
You know, because I'm in a water battle with Danville City.
Okay, so we'll take proposals there. Danielle, somebody on the line that's got a comment?
Sally Miller has a fundraiser proposal. We have a couple minutes to hear her out.
That I'll open at the end. There's a fundraiser proposal for money that they want to hear out at the end.
Oh, okay.
At the end.
Yeah, I think we'll do it at the end.
Sally, are you good to just bring that up at the end?
Yes.
You there?
Yes.
Okay. And hopefully we're almost to the end, because I'm to my end. At least one end of me is to the end.
Okay, we can go through this next part pretty quick. Brief report of each area of responsibility. This is not my area of responsibility, but I'm going to report on it. If you'll notice, Danielle is not plugged inside the store. She's plugged to the outside of the store. The garden cabin now has power from the ranch house solar. That is going to be going away. That goes to the refrigerator. People in the garden cabin, anybody who's staying in the garden cabin, you are going to have to be conservative. We're running, when we get a fridge that we can, an operational fridge in the store, we're going to be running 3 fridges, 2 freezers, and then as few lights as possible in there. So anyway, be conservative and,
right.
That's perfect. Yeah. And if anybody complains about that, you can send them the lots of 117. So anyway, Cade, you're
nothing more to report.
Larry?
You
haven't said anything about the gravel pit.
I'm still working on getting a fully functional different variety of rock. We're pretty good now on producing road base. Fish are planned to be stocked 1st of May. There are at least one turkey hunter on the ranch. This morning was the opening of the turkey hunt. So, you know, don't run around with feathers and make a noise. Did you get that from... got his name now.
Yeah, so I just want to, declare that I was paid through Venmo from this guy.
What? You're taking private money?
I woke up to it. I did not understand.
What's his name? My brain is... Dave Verosco is an outfitter out of Kanab and has hunted with clients on the ranch, deer hunted 4 or 5 different years, and turkey hunted many years. He called me. I was in St. George dealing with family stuff last night, and he called me and said, we were going to go somewhere, and it all fell through. Is there any chance we can come to Deer Springs again? And I said, yeah, sure. You know the deal. You know the drill. I'll have Daniel get with you. And he's like, well, just to be covered, can I pay you through Venmo? And I said, well, don't pay me. Pay Danielle, even though it's her private Venmo. She'll put it in the bank, and so...
He needed an authorization letter.
It wouldn't be bad, but we created one on our text message. I said, if you run into anybody... But he's been out here enough. He knows what to do and where to go, and so I'm not worried about it, but...
where is he hunting?
Probably mostly on BLM, but it'll probably be up in Broad Hollow and at the bottom end of Side Canyon. Has anybody seen Monster Big Turkeys?
I saw Dave this morning over by our... Johnny.
Yeah.
He's out there a lot. Dave's a good guy.
Yeah.
He takes care of the land.
He's one of the good, responsible guys.
Larry or Danielle, are you just going to set up a HOA Venmo for that in the future so you don't have to worry about it?
It's something to look into, I guess.
It should be pretty easy on yours. I think I have a company Venmo too, the same exact one. That way when...
I'll have to talk with Niall, who's our
Well, last time I looked at it, Venmo didn't support nonprofits yet. They support for profit, but not nonprofit. But we'll have to see what we can do there.
We're not a
nonprofit. which is different. We're not a 501(c), non-profit. We're just a not-for-profit.
Right. And I don't know what that
is. Which is stupid, you know. I mean, I think we should be for-profit. If we can make a dollar, we should make a dollar.
Well,
we're definitely spending them.
You're allowed to make dollars. You just have to pay towards your goal.
Other than that, as far as my areas of responsibility, has anybody taken Slash to the Slash file? Any issues or problems there?
Did you burn?
Brian, have you pushed any, hauled anything yet this year?
This spring, my last run was in the fall.
Okay. I pushed it all down, but I haven't paid attention to it because I've just been doing other things. But I don't have anything else that we need to bring up here.
One thing about the Slash file, it would be beneficial if when we pull in and dump the Slash, we could loop back out rather than...
Now that we've kind of mowed off all the rest of that sagebrush, I will probably create a road. What I'm planning long-term... There's another erosion north of the Half Moon Reservoir instead of south of the Half Moon Reservoir. It's cutting up into the Half Moon, the well field, and we might start using that to fill it up. It's going to become a little difficult to get to the Slash pile as we create the gravel pit bypass road. Where you turn off now, where the old cat loader used to be parked, and you turn to go to the Slash pile. That area is going to be, you know, a 15-foot drop from the road. So that's not really convenient to drive off with a Slash trailer or a pickup truck full of limbs. So we'll probably be driving off, and this is future, further north and going down that fence line to a new Slash pile. But that'll all kind of...
Don't we have to have irrigation? Was that where some of the irrigation stuff was running to?
Yeah.
So we got it?
Yeah. The problem right now is we've kind of destroyed the irrigation ditch by pulling in there and dumping all the Slash and turning around, which I destroyed intentionally because we can't have vehicles getting stuck or breaking axles and falling and haul, you know. So as we reestablish that ditch line, it'll make it harder for people to dump Slash, but I'm just going to juggle where they dump Slash and make it obvious. Maybe if we have to have a little sign or something, but have you still got a lot more to haul? Or are you about done?
That's nature. You're never done.
You shouldn't ever be done. Some people think that, I did that, done, and then turn around 3 years later and you're overgrown. So, yeah. Anyway, I'm done.
Okay, Bart?
For water, you know, thanks. I'm not sure if I reported it last month, but, you know, thanks went... Larry, for fixing the innards of the meter. We now are getting accurate meter reads. Last month, we pumped around 106,000 gallons of water, which is great because we don't know how much we pumped the year on year before that, you know, last year, same month. So we're more accurately measuring our water. So thank you very much for that. Also, if people aren't aware or haven't used it, I did create a Deer Springs Ranch map on ArcGIS Online. If you haven't seen it, you can just go. If you have a free account, you can get a free account and go on there. I've added the water right points of diversions on there, Title V roads, all the basic kind of state GIS shape files. I've added the new irrigation ditches. Well, not new. The ones that Vance had mapped years ago. So I created those, put those in here. If there's anything you would like to see on the map, just let me know. Because if you just so you know, you can go in and toggle stuff on and off. So,
you're gonna have to give me a tutorial of how to get that on my Avenza.
Oh, that this isn't through Avenza. This
it's
be,
not.
No, this is different. This is.
Isn't that the one you told? You told me
that was a different map I made for everybody. That was just a PDF. That's a different map. That's a PDF. That's, you know, geo reference, so you can go around. This is actually. Shape files information. You can actually go on the water rights points of diversion, check your water rights. It can be interactive. That's it.
How do we get there?
Bart will do a write up of instructions and put it in the newsletter.
I will write up instructions and put it in the newsletter. Thank you.
We can also put it on the website.
Yes.
That would be helpful.
No wonder I've been trying and trying and trying to do that through a Venzone. It's like, man, this doesn't work.
You can throw your phone through yeah.
A Venzone, I did a geo-reference PDF, so you can just drive around and see where you're at. If you download that PDF, that's when you're offline outside of service area, you still have it on your map, shows you where you're at. But honestly, Onyx Hunt is almost as good, and so that doesn't really...
As long as people recognize and realize that it's not accurate. It's a general guideline.
I would, yes, for most GIS tools are not survey grade, so don't use them to determine your plot, your lot corners, and understand that most of them are...
I've had a lot of people yeah. say and want to argue that, well, the survey's inaccurate because Onyx says this is where my corner should be. I'm like,
yeah.
The survey's yeah. accurate. Onyx is not. It's reliable and it gets you close, but.
Disclaimers are your friend.
Right. Yeah, no, it's interesting. Just don't trust GIS shapefiles to be survey grade accurate. The general reference.
The state ones just flat have errors in them, too.
Yeah, and the one from the county, it's submitted by the. By the county office, and I've gone through them.
By Dan, that are the lot numbers are backwards.
Yeah. No. So if we have any, if there are errors in the state shape files, let me know because I'll reach out to Taylor Glover,
yep.
at the county, and because he's the one who oversees and submits changes to our GIS parcels. So if you have any issues like that, just let me know and I can submit them.
Well, you're also Michael today. Do you have anything?
Please come up with ideas for more money, and I think we have one.
All right. Scott?
I have nothing further.
Kevin, I didn't mean to step on your toes about the garden cabin power and stuff, but
no,
you're up.
I did have one thing just that I forgot in my report I did want to add. Thanks again to Mike McNichols and to some diligent shopping on the cabin supplies. We have managed to reduce the expenditures by $1,227. So that's roughly 10% of the entire budget that we've saved by using Mike's account, and I have an account at Home Depot for our purchasing. So, you know, while it's bad news financially, there is a bright spot. So,
is that it?
That's it.
Okay. All right, open forum for the members, and because it's an open forum for the members, I'm going to go first. What's Venmo?
It's a way to send money electronically.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, that's all I had. Anybody?
So we did have Sally on the phone.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Sally, you want to go ahead with your?
Yes. All right. I've got laryngitis, getting over it, so I sound sort of weird. But anyway, does anybody within listening distance not like popcorn? Nobody. Okay.
I despise it. It. I try to destroy it every chance I get.
Okay. Well, you're just one person. So.
Yeah. I just
anyway.
It
so let
it.
Me let me just tell you. Because I know you want, and I want this meeting to be over too. So I belong to a very tiny nonprofit, and there are, I think, four people on the board, and there are no members. And they made, a few months ago, they made over $3,000. So I am thinking of all the members, I don't know how many of us there are, but all the members of Deer Springs Ranch, and every member have families and they have kids, and there are Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts that need projects. So here it is. There's a fundraising organization, and they sell popcorn, and it's an online situation where you've got 3 days to sell your popcorn. And so you get the link to whatever code they give you, and you just send out emails, and you tell people what you're doing and what you're doing it for. And so what you're asking is for people to buy popcorn, and there are, I don't know, 10 to 15 different kinds. And they just click on what they want, and then they get their credit card and pay for the popcorn. They get the popcorn, and we get the percentage of the proceeds of the of what's made. And as I said, if a small group of four people can make over $3,000 in 3 days, and you can do this as many times as you want, but the fundraising goes on for 3 days. I mean, how you can do it more than once, whatever. But if four people can make over $3,000 doing this in 3 days, how much do you think Deer Spring Ranch members could make if they get enthusiastic and send out an email to people and tell them what they're doing and what they're doing it for? I think we could make a whole bunch of money. So that's my idea, and I would be glad if somebody will call me on my phone. I will get you all the information, whoever wants to do this.
Do you want to give us your phone number or how you want to be contacted so anybody that wants to do that? Tina's looking like she needs something to do.
Okay, let me just tell you. I think it needs to come out from the ranch that goes to the information. See, this is the way it would work. It would work to say that Deer Springs Ranch, we are organizing a fundraiser so we can have some money in the pot, some discretionary money to do stuff with, and this is what we're doing. And here's the date, June 3rd through 5th. And here's the link. And if you would, just send this link to your family and friends and just ask them to please buy popcorn. And proceeds will go to Deer Springs Ranch. So that's how it works. So I'll be glad to give my phone number, but I don't see it happening one-on-one. This needs to be a concerted effort of members of the ranch. Yeah, I mean, if it's going to be to make some money.
I just think it's going to require one or two individuals to put it together.
Oh, yes, of course. Yes, it will take that. So do you want my phone number? I'll be glad to give it out.
Yes, please.
Okay. My phone number is 832-452-0113.
Okay, Sally. Thanks for that idea.
Right.
I would definitely buy some popcorn and try to sell other people popcorn to make some money for the ranch to do something.
Yeah,
beneficial.
And the thing is, you don't need to sell it because you are just sending out an email and you're just having your friends and family do just what you did. That's really neat. There's very little effort in it, and that's what's so neat, that there's not very much effort. But you've got to write an email that's enthusiastic to people. So.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Are we considering that for the spring newsletter? Is that what you're thinking, Larry?
Yeah.
We get information from her and do that? Okay.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
We're still on open comment or question. Is there anybody on the line that still has any input or open topic?
I think most people are on the Zoom call are probably
not
on.
Yeah, go. He's listening.
Brent, this is Gary Clark. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Brent, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear.
Okay, I've got a question in regards to the gravel pit. How does one go about obtaining some dirt, some base rock from the pit?
This is Larry. You just give me a call or shoot me a text or an email. And I can tell you what you need to do and where and when and how.
Okay, great, Larry. I already just said to you, so thank you for reaffirming that.
Okay.
Well, Larry, we need to get that documented to you between you and I, so we'll try and we can get that figured out, prices and stuff. Or if you just want them to contact you, I'm fine with that, too. Is that
That's probably the simplest, easiest thing right now.
That's why we put in the bylaw change. Yeah. Just come back there, so. Okay. Okay, anybody else got any comments?
On the Zoom?
Or even out here? There's no additional comments. I move that we adjourn the meeting.
When's the next meeting?
I was going to say that.
Someone will have to look it up. I don't know.
I think it's the 10th. Or 11th. Yeah, 11th. May 11th.
Okay, now isn't that like Mother's Day weekend or something?
Mother's Day.
We've got a Mother's Day.
Okay, is that going to be a problem?
It's just for mothers.
Mother's Day Sunday. I think we're probably okay doing Saturday.
Okay. All right. So what day is it?
May 11th. Saturday, May 11th.
Here in person again?
Yes.
So
okay. Saturday, May 11th. 9 o'clock for the executive meeting. 10 o'clock for the board meeting. And it'll be out here. And
I second Cade's motion to adjourn.
All in favor?
Aye.
Larry seconded it.